This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
It is hour number two. Thanks for joining us, Sports Map Radio. It is Wake Up Call, and we have good, the bad, and the dumb coming up this hour. Caitlin Brader is going to join us. We'll talk some horse racing with her about the Preakness Stakes that is coming up. And look, I love the Triple Crown races, but there's been so much in the last 2 weeks to unpack with Bob Baffert and Medina Spirit, the Kentucky Derby winner. And that is still being looked at by Kentucky Derby officials. Baffert's still suspended at Churchill Downs. But what does it mean for Sunday's race? And how should we look at Sunday's race with a horse that failed a drug test after the Kentucky Derby and the way the, you know, he was trained and prepared for that race? We'll have all that coming up in about 35 minutes. Look, it's not a throwback Thursday. It is a Friday. But on this date in 1996, Doc Gooden threw a no-hitter for the Yankees. And it was one of the probably feel-good no-hitters of its time, because Doc Gooden had had a, you know, kind of a troubled career. You know, was a fantastic young man for the Mets in the 1980s. Threw a curveball you just couldn't hit. Uncle Charlie became Lord Charles. Fantastic curveball. But had some ups and downs. Got on the Yankee team in 96 along with Daryl Strawberry, and then threw this no-hitter on a day he was very concerned about his father, who was very, very ill. But it was a magical no-hitter, because the final out of that game was recorded by a rookie shortstop named Derek Jeter, who caught the fly ball that secured the no-hitter for Doc Gooden. Now, many people don't like the Yankees, and rightfully so. You know, they're a team that has such a different philosophy than a lot of other major league teams in terms of how they do business and how they pay and what their, you know, salary explosions are. But the 96 Yankees, and I've said this over and over again, the 96 Yankees is probably the most likable Yankee team that had been put together. Yes, it had, you know, it had its share of stars. It certainly had Jimmy Key on the team and whatnot, and David Cone. But it also had a lot of young, up-and-coming talent that was built in a different way than the Yankees had tried to build teams in their unsuccessful runs. But acquiring Doc Gooden and giving him sort of this professional lifeline, and on a magical night in 96 with, again, Derek Jeter at shortstop catching a fly ball, locking in a no-hitter for his career, it's one of the more special moments in all of the no-hitters that have been thrown. It's one of the more memorable ones. But coming up, the good, the bad, and the dumb as we continue. It is Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
It's the good, the bad, and the dumb. And on a Friday, we're going to send you into the weekend on the right note with the good of the day. Ron Culver, take it away.
The good of the day? Social media users. I never put them in the good.
Wow, this is weird.
Yes.
Good. I'm looking forward to seeing what this is about.
Well, you know, we always have fun with these maps that come out every once in a while that show, right, you, like, you know, this is the best Halloween candy of the state, or this is your favorite NFL team if you live here. And a lot of times we make fun of them, or a lot of times it's a fake map and we get duped.
Right.
This one is not, however. This one is somebody put together this map, and it shows it's an analysis of TripAdvisor's restaurant reviews by chefspencil.com. Okay, so TripAdvisor, I mean, that's a legit place.
Okay.
We've all been there. And it highlights the top 10 cities who have the best barbecue.
Okay.
And this is where social media users are in the right, because they have a serious complaint about the top 10 cities in the United States that have the best barbecue, according to this map and TripAdvisor. You ready?
Right.
So here's the top 10 cities. I'm just going to ramble them off very quickly. I want to see if you notice anything glaringly missing, all right?
Okay.
See, number one is New Orleans. Number two, Oklahoma City. Three is Wichita. You also got Seattle, Columbus, St. Louis, Miami, Charlotte, Virginia Beach, Newark, New Jersey. Are the top 10 cities with the best barbecue. Now, there are three styles of barbecue, Tony. Do you know what they are?
There is basically pork barbecue.
No. I'm saying where they've been named after a place.
There's Kansas City.
Kansas City.
There is Texas.
Texas.
And there is right Nashville.
Down, well, Memphis.
Memphis.
Yeah.
I like Nashville Memphis. Barbecue, but okay. Whatever.
But you throw Nashville on there.
There's also Carolina barbecue with mustard sauce, but it doesn't count because it's mustard sauce.
Yeah, no, that doesn't work. But those three are widely known as, you know, that's the best barbecue. Right. Those three are nowhere on this list.
Wow. So that's how
That's where social media, I think, got it right, because how can you have barbecue named after certain places and none of their places are named on this list?
Wow, that is pretty wild. So what was the answer to this?
They don't have one.
They just said, this is our thing.
This is our ratings of the best restaurants or the best barbecue places. Not even restaurants, best barbecue cities.
One of my problems with polls or things
that
like
can
that
get
is
skewed?
It depends. It matters who participates, right? So if I ask 10 people who has the best fast food French fries, which I think is McDonald's, and everybody answers, Chick-fil-A, then that's what I get, right? You know, maybe people viewed didn't say that Kansas City was the best barbecue because they didn't ask the right people.
It has to be that, right?
Right? Depending on what your sample size is. It has to be. So, or maybe there weren't enough people who have ever sampled Kansas City barbecue to put Kansas City barbecue on the map. But it seems weird, like Seattle. Was over Kansas.
Or Newark?
City, or Newark, yeah. Then, Franklin Barbecue in Texas.
I mean, I've heard of St. Louis. I mean,
St. Louis has got good ribs.
Got good ribs. Right?
Good ribs, style
with that.
Ribs.
New Orleans, I can get with that as well. I mean, I know they do a lot more, seafood barbecue, but I don't know if you can call it barbecue. I don't know. Mm.
Interesting.
Good for social media for rising up and fighting back on this. Doing the right thing.
Yeah, we're not taking your word for it.
Yes.
Yeah, good. That's
we know
awesome.
Where it is.
Good for you, people out there in social media, setting the barbecue world straight. Good for you. What's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day is not really for any of us. The bad of the day is for Zach Wilson.
Why?
He hasn't even thrown an NFL pass yet. And he's already having to deal with serious backlash and having to deal with his mom and her social media accounts and whatnot.
Well, that was inevitable.
Yeah, but
she is already taking center stage. Well, yeah, once she was exposed to the general population as a very attractive woman, the floodgates were going to open.
Zach Wilson. But not only that, because she recently made her Instagram private because she also took to social media to go on some rants. And I don't know what the rants are because I wasn't able to see them, but she did go on a rant about Disney, comparing Disney to a certain oldest profession, if you catch my drift.
Now, she's not single, right? I mean, she is still married to his dad or somebody else.
Sure.
Right?
I don't know too much about her.
So
other than, hey.
Yeah, this was, look, BYU's got a pretty good following, but you can hide your mom's attractiveness at BYU, right? But once you get drafted by the New York Jets with the second overall pick, your good-looking mom is going to become a celebrity. That's just how it works in the good old US of A. Like once more people, more and more people see how pretty your mother is. That's just the way. Now it's an avalanche of attention.
I mean, yeah. If the kid's not under enough pressure, first of all, he looks like he's 12.
I know. That's the one thing I cannot get over. That kid is going to be the starting quarterback of the New York Jets.
Yeah, and he's 12 years old.
He looks like he won a contest to be the quarterback of the Jets.
Or I don't want to say make a wish, but it feels like a make a wish thing. This was his lifelong
dream.
He's
the Doogie Howser of NFL quarterbacks, right?
He has to.
He shows up in the huddle who gave you the, you really? Okay. He looks like a teenager.
Don't you picture him to go, okay, guys, I want you guys to run down the field. You're going to do a 5-yard in and you're doing a 10-yard out.
Yeah.
Please.
This is like Angels in the Outfield or some, no, was not Angels in the Outfield. What was the one with the kid played for the Cubs, pitched
for
the
Rookie
Cubs?
Of the Year.
Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
This is like one of those movies where this young person is like thrusted onto the professional landscape, right? This is Zach Wilson. And if he's great, it's even better. Like, if he turns out to be really good.
Oh, no, that, I mean, fantastic.
That's great.
You know, 10 years from now, he'll look like he should be a quarterback.
Oh, I know. Yeah, exactly. You know what I'll be curious about? I know we've actually mentioned this before. Do you remember Super Bowl? It was Super Bowl 30. I want to see. I'm going to miss it. I think 31. It was Green Bay Patriots. And Brett Favre hit, like, I don't know, Desmond Howard for a touchdown or something. And he took off his helmet and he was running down the field. And he looked like a 22-year-old kid. And in a very short amount of time, Brett Favre looked like Rip Van Winkle. Like, in a very short amount of time, Brett Favre went from a young-looking quarterback to an old man. I wonder if that happens to this kid. Well, we will have pictures of him on draft day and go, he used to look like this at the start of his career. Now, my God, he looks like he should be selling reverse mortgages on television. Like, I wonder if it ages you that much, like the presidency of the United States, right?
Maybe.
Hi, I'm Zach Wilson. I would never set you seniors astray. I'm actually one of you. Like, I can in like 5 years, he might look like an old man. It's like when I found out Wilford Brimley was like 42 years old when he made The Natural. Yeah. I freaked out. I was like, you got to be kidding. Old man, grandpa, manager was 42 years old? That can't be right. That could be Zach Wilson.
Maybe he'll look like, he'll instead of going the Tom Brady route, he'll go the George Blanda route.
Yeah, no doubt.
George Blanda looked like he was 50, 60 years old and same age as Tom Brady now.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. But, absolutely.
I just feel bad for this kid because, I mean, the pressures of being essentially the number one athlete in New York City.
Yeah.
And you got to deal with all your mom stuff.
Plus, I'm getting at an age where, you know, I'm looking at his mother going, yeah, she's like in my age bracket.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
I've got a dad bod. I'm feeling old. She kept herself up all these years. Good for her.
Yeah.
She's pretty
and lady. I don't know. I'm assuming she's married, but we never hear about
that. We don't know. I know. And I have no idea what their background is.
Yeah, and I don't even want to look. Oh, yeah. Be honest with you.
All right, what's the dumb of the day?
I hate to do it to you.
Right.
This one pains me to do this to you specifically.
Me specifically, okay.
Yeah, but University of Southern California President Bob Caslin has resigned.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, why?
Well, he gave a graduation speech recently.
Oh, I heard this, yeah.
And I don't have the audio for it, unfortunately. I didn't grab it in time. But during his graduation speech, he did welcome the graduates. That's the word I'm looking for. He did welcome the graduates of University of California.
Yeah, instead of South Carolina.
Yeah.
Which is.
But that's not why he resigned. I mean, that's just a faux pas.
That's just a faux pas. But it's a serious faux pas.
It's a serious faux pas because he's the president of that university. He should know what university he's at, right?
Right.
Not one that's 2,500 miles away. No, the reason why he resigned because that speech was largely plagiarized.
Is that his fault or is that the fault of somebody who wrote the speech for him? Because I'm sure somebody had to write the speech for him.
I mean, you would think.
But like, you would think, it's like, I'm a busy guy. Can you just write me some nice things? The guy's like, oh, my God, it's due tomorrow. Let me just grab a speech no one's ever heard of before.
Yeah, but no, but whoever grabbed probably one of the more famous speeches. It was it was almost word for word, the speech. We've seen it. It's gone viral, that military. I think it was an admiral.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He copied that one?
Yes.
Oh, if you're going to plagiarize a graduation speech, find some small school that doesn't have recording equipment that you may find a transcript of in some of the deep pockets of the web.
I'm sure
that's what you need to go to.
I'm sure who wrote the speech, that person probably graduated from a university. Grab this and your mom filmed it.
Yeah.
Just go back and say, Mom, where's that graduation?
Exactly.
Where's my college graduation? I'm going to use this speech. But no, he grabbed the one that, you know, everyone has seen.
Like, if you're the president, don't start a speech with 4 scores and 7 years ago, right? Like, don't pick the most popular graduation speeches of all time and decide that that's what you're going to do when you're go around.
And then obviously don't end it with, you know, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what
right.
you can do for your country.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, people might have heard that before. Yeah. I don't know.
That USC Southern California thing has been bothering South Carolina forever. They want to be USC because they were the first USC.
Right.
But it just doesn't work. It doesn't fit.
Did you guys call yourself USC when you were there?
Not really. There were plenty of shirts that said, like, there was a, okay, I'm not going to say, I had a t-shirt, okay, when I was a student at the University of South Carolina that said, University of South Carolina, the real USC. And then there was a saying that involved the mascot of the other USC with a different term that we use for the mascot at South Carolina.
God,
so just take those two things and blend them together in some sort of derogatory way, and you got the slogan.
I mean, you guys have both of you have the worst mascot names.
I know.
And it just imagines that you guys are, both USCs as well. You can get that confused.
Yeah.
So did your mascot, was it more about like going bareback?
Yeah, right. And we have Cocky, one of the coolest mascots of all time.
Yes, yes,
right,
yes.
Exactly. All right. That's funny. All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb as we continue at Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, in about 12 minutes, we're going to talk to Kayton Brader. She is going to help us with the Preakness Stakes coming up this weekend and the Medina Spirit. And Bob Baffert and all the and what's going on there. I've kind of been obsessed with that story, to be honest with you. Maybe a little too much, more than I probably should. It's weird.
It's fascinating. I don't know.
It is fascinating.
I mean, I guess you said earlier this week that Baffert has had run-ins. With having horse issues or horse, doping issues.
He's the biggest name right now in terms of trainers.
I mean, let's face it, name another trainer.
Right. Dwayne Lucas still in the game? I don't think he is.
Sure.
Maybe. Todd Pletcher? That's about it.
You got me. I have no idea.
I could say John Evans, and he'd probably go, oh, okay, I'll take your word for it.
Sounds like a great guy.
Right, sounds like a great guy.
Much better than Bob Evans.
I was saying this when I was at my folks' house for the Kentucky Derby. How much does Bob Baffert charge? Like, if I owned a horse and I wanted Bob Baffert to train my horse, he must, I mean, that...
Enough to pay for all the drugs.
Truck. Right? That's the other thing now. I remember thinking, that guy has won 7 Kentucky Derbies. This is the one that's going to be like, I don't know about this one.
Yep. I don't know if the ointment's going to work on this one. We might have to go straight needle.
It's so funny because I was talking about this earlier this week. We are so selective as a fan base, as a sports culture, as to what steroids or drugs we are outraged by and which ones we're like, whatever. Like when it comes to the NFL, a guy gets pegged for steroids, we're like, what are you going to do? They're gladiators. What are you going to do? A Major League Baseball get tested positive for steroids should never be allowed on the diamond ever again for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
Strip him of everything he's ever accomplished ever. And so where is horse racing in that degree, right? Like, I would say most people aren't diehard horse racing fans, but most are like, I'll watch the Derby and the Triple Crown races.
Here's a question I have for you. Do NBA players even get tested for PEDs?
Right.
Because
exactly.
I've never heard of that either. Ever
golf was trying to do that with PEDs? People were like, don't even bother. we couldn't care less if the guys are doping up on the PGA Tour.
No, but let them dope.
But let's even go further. Let's unpack that even further, right? Let's just put cheating in general, right? I've covered NASCAR for years and years and years. I've never seen people go ballistic, crazy, shut the sport down if a guy's putting a lead brick on the other side of the car to balance it out in the corners, right? They just go, he got caught, but they'll try again with something else next time.
Oh, always trying.
They're always trying.
Because
always
if they're
trying.
Not, whoops. You're not really racing if you're not trying to find some competitive advantage.
Exactly. Exactly. And then the big example of it, and is one you and I talk about a lot, is college athletics. You better be trying, right?
Yes.
Because if you're not trying and the other schools are trying, they're probably going to be beating you and the boosters aren't going to like that at all.
Yeah, Alabama.
Right? Exactly. Like, it's serious. Like you don't – we – Bill Self didn't get fired, right? People just get fired for losing. They never successful coaches in college athletics never get fired for
talk
a
about
scandal,
that all the time.
A recruiting scandal. Will
our
Wade
favorite?
At LSU.
Will Wade, thank you. I was going to say,
really great basketball
guy.
Program, and yet not it, practically untouchable today. But as soon as he starts losing, they'll bring it back up again.
Yep, and right? He'll get fired on the spot. He'll get the Lane Kiffin treatment.
And again, I was quick to point out
the tarmac.
This week. I'm not talking breaking the law. I'm not talking Art Briles. I'm talking like slipping a kid $100 or giving his mom a car or some other of these recruiting violations that we've seen in decades and decades of college athletics. So again, going back to horse racing, where is it on the public scrutiny, right?
Right.
Like, does Bob Baffert really suffer for this? Does he go down because of this?
No, what
like
we...
most people were tweeting on and going on Facebook saying, Bob Baffert, my God, the guy always wins. He's amazing. He's the Bill Belichick of horse racing. And then I'm like, yep, is this the kind of thing he just survives? Because people are like, I couldn't care less if some ointment's going to make the horse have a droplet of depectamone or whatever it was called.
And quite honestly, what do we focus on? We focused more on his excuses because they were laughable.
Right,
because
they were silly. And if he had just come out and said, look, I'm responsible for whatever the horse gets. I'm responsible for what the horse eats, what ointment we're putting on, what medication we're giving him. On this, I failed. On this one, I failed. We used an ointment. That ointment caused the certain rise in this drug. And I should know better as a trainer. I've been at this a long time. There's no excuse for this. If he had done that on the first day this broke, we wouldn't even be talking about it.
No, we wouldn't at all.
Right, but instead he goes down Cuckooville, and we're all sitting there going, God, is this guy even got a square brain on right now?
I mean, now because you know what he did? He opened up Pandora's box with a weird excuse. So the next baseball player that gets popped, like, hey, somebody must have urinated in my Wheaties.
Yeah,
and that's how I had it. You know, I mean, it's so bizarre. It's so insanely laughable. I don't know. It's. I just wish, like you said, Tony, he just come out and just say it right away and just come out and just be open and honest about what had happened and what you did that was right or what was wrong. I mean, you can get busted for PEDs all the time. We see it in the sports all the time. I mean, there, you know, football players get busted, but Brian Bosworth used to get busted all. I mean, he was largely known as a steroid user. We didn't care. We were just like, that's part of the job. That's part of the responsibility. So, I mean, it's just one of those things. I wish you're absolutely right. Just come out and just say, be clean and say you weren't clean. And you're 100% fine with that. You can be 100%, you know, okay.
I am back.
You were gone?
I was gone for a brief second there. My system rebooted while I was chatting about Bob Baffert.
That's nice of your system.
I like Bob Baffert. He does look like a Bond villain, which I've been saying, but he's a good guy.
He probably is a Bond villain.
Yeah.
If you think about it, because I mean that's the perfect cover.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, again, I'm just large picture here. We get outraged at certain cheating. We don't seem to care about other certain cheating. And, you know, that's the way it is, especially in auto racing. Auto racing is notorious for teams like, man, if we just kind of put this little screw right here where we're not supposed to, that's going to give us a quick change of the left.
I mean, you remember Brian Bosworth. Did we care?
No, we didn't seem to care at all.
No, it was
not
at all. You know, and if he had had an equal NFL career that he had in college, he'd be in the Hall of Fame. We wouldn't have kept him out. And I'm sure there's a ton of players in the NFL Hall of Fame who did use steroids.
And we also, to a degree, right? We said this back in 2015 with Tom Brady and that stupid Deflategate nonsense.
Right.
If it had happened to anybody, any other quarterback, nobody would have cared. But because it was happening to them, it was like, oh no, this is the biggest scandal in sports.
Yeah, on the heels.
But
of
any
Spygate.
Other quarterback. Any other quarterback would have been like, "Man, what are you going to do? It's, you know, they want to grip the ball better. It's fine." So it's a really fascinating look at how somebody ought to write a whole book on how we treat cheating scandals in America.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. It's been an interesting 2 weeks in the world of horse racing. Caitlin Brader joins us from TVG, horse racing analyst, on the Preakness Stakes coming up and all of the stuff that has happened since the Kentucky Derby. How are you, Caitlin?
Oh, I'm great. How are you?
Good, thank you. So this Medina Spirit situation, this sort of scandal, if you want to call it, for a lack of a better term, we don't see it at the Triple Crown as much, but is something like that, where it's improper ointment and whatnot, does that go on a Tuesday or a Wednesday in March in horse racing tracks around the country? Is this more common, but on a bigger stage?
Racing is like any other sport, major sport, and the horses are like any other professional athlete in that they are treated with all sorts of therapeutic medications. So, yes, there are all sorts of ointments and remedies and things that are applied and therapeutic devices and medications and treatments that are given. And, yes, I think on any given day you would find in any barn different types of ointments and remedies that might be administered under a veterinarian supervision and given. So, you know, long answer to a very good question is yes, you would find something like this happening probably.
So in terms of Bob Baffert, I mean, is this something he should have known about, or is this something that just got slipped through? Somebody did it, he wasn't aware. How do we put where Bob Baffert is in his responsibility to what the horse is taking in?
Well, Bob has a very large stable, hundreds of horses, literally, and assistants underneath him that are operating and overseeing a crew of people. But it's hard to understand how he wouldn't have known that something like this was happening. And at the end of the day, the trainer is much like a coach, or is responsible for what happens in his shed row. And you would think that he would know what's going on. And he would likely be held responsible under the rules of racing. But I do think that if this is indeed what happened, it was an honest mistake. And you can see that something like this could happen conceivably, but, you know, the trainers are the people that are held responsible for what happens underneath their shed row and to the horses in their care.
Did it sound like he made it worse with a lot of sort of other, not conspiracy, that's a little too strong, but other excuses that seemed to not fit well? He could have just said, look, I got a lot of horses, this is my responsibility, I screwed up in the end, I'm at fault here, it was a mistake, and then move forward. I think most of Americans would have said, okay, that seems to be reasonable.
You know, I think a lot of people were very surprised that he was the first one to make a statement. And, you know, after the Kentucky Derby, there's so much emotion and so much excitement, and it seems as if it was a very emotional response and kind of a knee-jerk reaction for him to have held the press conference that he did in the aftermath of getting the news of being notified of the initial positive. That was his prerogative. No one else could make such a statement. He was the only one who could actually be public until after a split sample results came back. So when he took that initiative and did go public, I think that did start the whole chain of events that then transpired. And I do think that kind of created the firestorm that we found ourselves in going forward. So, but I think it was the kind of heat of the moment and the emotions that surround something like this, both the positives and the high of the excitement and then the lows of the aftermath and all that followed.
So what's likely to happen with Medina Spirit and the Kentucky Derby? How long does an investigation like this last, or decision on race results last? Is it common to have it fixed immediately or a decision immediately, or is it a drawn out process?
Well, in any situation like this, it's usually a fairly lengthy process typically, but it's all, it's kind of how long people want to, the people involved want to continue fighting, you know, and how much money you have to fight it, right? Because it can be pretty short if you don't resist. In this case, if you look back, if history is any indication, the only other time in the Kentucky Derby winner was involved in this was 1968, and that took 4 years to end up, and it was in the courts for 4 years, and ultimately the horse was disqualified after a positive, and the result stood with that horse being disqualified, but it did drag on for 4 years. And the early indications, if the split sample does confirm the initial positive, is that it sounds like the connections will continue to fight this, and I would think that it would drag on for quite some time.
All right, so the Preakness coming up on Saturday, and Medina Spirit, where is it? I mean, again, you're coming off a Kentucky Derby win that's controversial. How are bettors, or at least people viewing this horse in this race?
You know, people are a little divided. I think some people, you know, are almost rooting for the horse because they like the horse and they feel like, you know, it's not his fault if there was anything involved. And then other people are, you know, kind of taking a hardline stance that he shouldn't even be in the race. But if you take all the emotion out of it and you just handicap the race, there are those who feel like, you know, he won the Derby. He was the best horse in the Derby. And controversy aside, he's the most likely winner of the Derby. I'm not in that camp. I actually believe that he ran such a big race in the Derby that it may take a little bit of a toll on him. And he's not the biggest horse or most robust horse in the world. His stablemate, Concert Tour, who draws on the outside of the field, is actually a much bigger, stronger, in my opinion, a kind of a better, more attractive-looking horse, who earlier on many people felt was one of the better horses in Bob Baffert's stable. I think he set out the Derby after running a disappointing third in the Arkansas Derby. I believe he might be the better horse. He has a similar style. He goes right to the front. I think he might be faster out of the starting gate. So I'm in the camp, and I think it'll be in the minority, but I'm one who actually thinks that Concert Tour might be able to beat Dina Spirit. So I think Concert Tour will be the second choice in the Preakness Stakes, but maybe a narrow second choice behind Medina Spirit.
Well, with Medina Spirit, Baffert is not going to be at the Preakness. Now, when we've talked to other sports, especially during COVID, where we had head coaches not available, not on the sidelines, not being able to attend because of the pandemic or whatnot, we've always wondered if it would be a big deal. How would the team react? In horse racing, Baffert not there for all of the runs, for all of the preparations leading up, is that a major drawback for Medina Spirit, or does his staff pretty much have it handled?
No, it's not a drawback at all. In this case, it's, you know, they have many instances outside of Triple Crown races where the trainer wouldn't be here and the assistant trainer would be handling everything. So actually, if this weren't a Triple Crown race, this would be business as usual. So it makes absolutely no difference so far as the horse is concerned. He has an excellent crew of people that know exactly what to do.
Just if Medina Spirit were to win the Preakness and have two legs of the Triple Crown, would you feel that would be a kind of a cry from the public, like, just ignore the Kentucky Derby thing so we can have a shot at the Belmont and another Triple Crown horse?
I don't think there's anything that's going to happen that's going to make the public ignore what's happened already. And the Derby is an animal unto itself. It's the longest running sporting event in North America. It is one of the most famous sporting events in the world. I think that it stands alone, and there is nothing that's going to change kind of the firestorm of emotions and controversy that's kind of surrounded this so far. So I really think, you know, I don't think anything can kind of change what's happened.
I agree. I mean, 2 years ago, we had that disqualification, and I think that's going to be remembered for a very, very long time. It's just one of those things that the Kentucky Derby brings to the sporting landscape that a lot of other events don't.
I agree, but I do think, the one thing I think is that this will be kind of one of those moments that people look back at, and a pivotal moment because hopefully it can be something that from here things change, that whether it's how things are regulated, whether there will be a lot of changes regardless of this, because there's going to be a new regulatory body going forward with some federal oversight and hopefully some uniformity as far as regulations are concerned, medication testing and such, beginning in the next 18 months or so. But this will be sort of a signature moment for the industry that hopefully makes it better and stronger going forward. But we kind of have to get through this period, and it is a tough one, that is for sure.
Horse racing analyst on TVG, Caton Brader, joins us on Sports Map Radio. I love doing interviews where I learn a lot, and I certainly did learn a lot about what the state of horse racing is going into the Preakness Stakes, especially the last 2 weeks. I really thank you for your time.
Well, I look forward to hopefully talking to you about some happier things.
Oh, absolutely. We get to the Belmont, we certainly will bring you back on. I love it. That's so great. Thank you so much, Caton. I appreciate it.
Enjoy the race.
You got it. Caton Brader, again, joining us. Quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at progressive.com. That's fascinating. I was wondering about the absenteeism of Bob Baffert for the horse. Because remember, we saw like Nick Saban couldn't be on the sidelines. We saw the Cleveland Browns playing without a head coach. Like, we've seen it enough with COVID where coaches were like, yeah, I can't make it. I'm quarantined. And yet, you know, the teams would perform and perform pretty well. Or sometimes you could see the absence of the coach not being there. In this case, I'm wondering, like, how much does a trainer do in the days leading up to a race on a big, you know, Triple Crown race? So he won't be there, but his staff certainly will be. Hey, I want to remind you, Tubba Towels will handle all of the tough dirt and the stains that you need to get taken care of. Literally breaks the bond that holds dirt and grease to the surface to clean just about anything. I was talking earlier how much I actually like cleaning my car. I like washing my car, and I like doing all that stuff myself. And Tubba Towels has certainly helped because it cleans everything. Auto interior, exterior, leather, vinyl, metal. You can get stuff off carpets. You can get lawn and garden equipment cleaned up. Walls, floors, grills especially. Again, Tubba Towels will remove grease, oil, tar, paint stains, bird messes on your car, food and drink stains in your car or around your house, permanent marker, brake dust, engine grime, you name it. Proudly made in the USA, each wipe contains aloe vera, vitamin E, lanolin, so it's easy on the hands. Tough on dirt, easy on the hands. Vapor lock lid, snap shut, strong lid containing the towels, keeping them moist, ready to use to tackle that big tough mess. Again, available at O'Reilly, AutoZone, Advance, Napa and Pep Boys. It is Tub O Towels. Come back and wrap up the hour as we continue with Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks to Caton Brader joining us to talk a little horse racing, getting ready for the Preakness. This hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage, home loans that fit your life. Rocket Can, Jake Asman show is coming up next. Hey, a reminder, Free All delivers three times more lubricant, freeing items with ease. Frozen parts, rusted parts, you name it, Free All. Rusted bolts, exhaust clamps, brackets, fuel tank removal, seized engines, corroded U-bolts. Again, delivering three times more lubricant, so you can get the job done. Plus, it's body shop safe, which means it's safe on paint, plastic parts, and it's silicone free. Deep penetrating Free All oil. Again, use it for your corroded nuts and bolts and all of the things that you need to free up. Available at AutoZone, O'Reilly, and Napa parts stores, and select Walmart stores as well. Again, Free All deep penetrating oil. All right. I loved what she was saying earlier about how the Kentucky Derby is just one of those events that, listen, if this horse wins the Preakness, you'll still remember what happened at the Derby, because the Derby is like the Masters. It's like Wimbledon. While there's other events in the sport, it's the premier event in the sport, right?
Right.
If you blow the Masters, if you blow a 5-shot lead, like if you do what Greg Norman did at the Masters, it's 10 times more famous than even if you did it at the U.S. Open. It just is. It's Augusta National. Wimbledon the same way. If something happens on the grass at Wimbledon, we just tend to remember it more than if it happened at the French Open or the Australian Open, because
right,
it's just one of those events that just stands out above the other events.
Like, the only thing that stands out for me with the French Open now, and it'll probably be now and forever, is that Rafael Nadal's won them all.
Yeah, right.
That's it. I couldn't tell you anything else about it except, you know, it's played on clay.
I remember remember when I was in high school, Michael Chang won the French Open, and he was like 17 years old.
Yeah.
And I remember I was about that age or close to that age. And I remember going, I'm trying to study for an algebra test. And that kid's in Roland Garros winning the French Open. But this isn't fair. How come I didn't get the tennis genes?
But like you said, I mean, Wimbledon, we can remember all the iconic matches.
Sure.
The ones that weren't the final.
And I mean, look, I hate to say this, but I can remember a lot of Kentucky Derby winners, right?
Yes.
I can remember them. When I was home, when I was visiting my folks, we were talking about a certain Kentucky Derby that my mom and dad were betting on. And I remembered the horse that won it in 1994. I just have this, but I can't remember who won the Preakness that year or the Belmont that year. And that's no knock on those two horse races, but the Derby is just too, it's just a special thing. It's in a different class.
I'll take it a step further. For years, I couldn't remember the two legs of the race.
Right.
The other two legs of the race.
Sure, exactly.
You remember the Preakness or Belmont?
I didn't even know what order it was in sometimes. I get them confused. I would go, oh, is it the Belmont or the Preakness that's up next? But I always knew the Derby was the first Saturday in May.
Yeah.
And so when you have a situation like this where there is a controversy, it's exponential compared to other races, right? Especially since this is the first one out of the gate, right? If the winner of the Preakness is caught doing this, we'll be like, right, whatever.
Yeah, I didn't even know that horse is running.
That's right. Jake Asman show is coming in next. Everybody have a great weekend. We'll be back on Monday. It'll be about time when we're really getting close to the NBA playoffs and the NHL playoffs will be underway. Again, Jake Asman show is coming up next. Thanks to you for listening. It is Sports Map Radio.